From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Two animal protection groups this week filed a lawsuit with the State Court of Appeals seeking an injunction against wolf hunting and trapping in Minnesota this fall. The Center for Biological Diversity and Howling for Wolves say the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources failed to provide a formal opportunity for public comment on recently approved rules establishing wolf hunting and trapping. The groups claim that instead of offering a formal public comment period, the DNR offered an online survey before adopting the details of how wolves would be shot and trapped. They point out that the first survey question was about support for the season, and more than 75% of the comments opposed killing wolves. According to the Duluth News Tribune, the groups also claim that lawmakers violated their own 2001 wolf management plan that called for a 5-year moratorium on wolf hunting and trapping once the animals were taken off the federal endangered species list. Minnesota's first wolf hunt in nearly a half century is scheduled to begin the 3rd of November. A public defender was appointed and two criminal cases were continued on Wednesday, September 19th, for a 36-year-old Grand Portage man. Joel Ray Allard faces two counts of felony criminal sexual predatory conduct, two counts of felony criminal sexual conduct, two counts of felony false imprisonment, and two counts of gross misdemeanor criminal sexual conduct. He's also charged with one count of furnishing alcohol to a person under 21. One case involves an 11-year-old girl, and the other involves a 9-year-old girl. He made his first appearance in Cook County District Court before Judge Michael Cuzzo on Monday, September 17th. The judge set bail at $100,000, $50,000 per case, which he continued during Wednesday's hearing. During the latest hearing, public defender John Lind was appointed to represent Allard. Lind indicated he and Allard had not been able to meet prior to court, so the Rule 8 was not held on Wednesday. A Rule 8 hearing is a second appearance in felony and gross misdemeanor cases. Lind told the court he needs to receive the discovery evidence from the county attorney's office to prepare for a Rule 8. Assistant County Attorney Molly Hicken told the court that her office has yet to transcribe the dozen interviews that have been done so far. She said there are, quote, mass quantities of computer equipment that are undergoing analysis by two agencies. She said that analysis could take 2 to 3 months. In setting the October 9th date for the Rule 8 hearing, Judge Cuzzo asked Hicken to provide a report then on a timeline for when the discovery evidence would be available. Allard will be held in the Aiken County Jail awaiting the October 9th hearing. The Department of Natural Resources is auctioning rights to prospect and mine for metallic minerals on close to 64,000 acres in northeastern Minnesota. Kathy Lewis, Assistant Director of the DNR Lands and Minerals Division, says the land includes nearly 45,000 acres in Aiken County, over 14,000 acres in St. Louis County, and more than 4,000 in Lake County. Interest in exploring for copper, nickel, and precious metals is growing, but the state's last effort to award minerals leases stalled for several months over objections from private property owners dismayed at having to let prospectors drill on their land. Lewis says she doesn't expect any controversy this time. She says the DNR will notify affected landowners after it opens the bids on the 24th of next month. The state's executive council must approve the leases. There was city and county progress made on the new community center this week. On Wednesday, I spoke with Commissioner Sue Hakes about the recent cooperation.
You know, at the end of the meeting between the City Council and the County Board, I don't think any of us thought that it could have gone any better.
Really?
We were all pulling on the same oar. Everybody was trying to work together to figure out how to make it a win-win and a fair financial partnership between the city and the county. And we accomplished that in about 90 minutes. And it was just so exciting because both the county and the city see the community center as a huge benefit to each of the respective taxpayers. And so it was just very positive. And we did reach an agreement, which I'm happy to share with you.
Yes.
The first thing is that the city agreed to pay half of the operating loss, which is projected to be about $200,000 annually. They agreed to pay half of the operating loss on a 50-50 basis with a cap at $100,000. Now, that cap may change. You know, numbers don't have a very long shelf life. And so we agreed to enter into an agreement similar to the one we have with the library that would allow some future growth of that cap when costs go up and things like that.
Yeah, I know when I talked to the mayor, the council was interested in following some kind of formula similar to what you've got with the library.
Right. Like right now, if the city increases the budget for the library less than 5%, the county has to rubber stamp it. But if it's over 5%, then we have a discussion. And so there was a lot of talk about doing something similar to that, or perhaps using the consumer price index as a measure. But the important thing that came out of that is that we want to have ongoing dialogue, not just to shelf the agreement, but to keep talking about how it's working and make adjustments if we need to. The other thing is that the county reassured the city that we will continue to pay what we've already committed to pay for the existing pool, which is a third of their losses with a cap at $75,000. You may recall that the existing pool was a partnership between the school, the county, and the city, but the city has borne the brunt of that. A few years ago, when I was the mayor, actually, we asked the county to participate and help offset some of that cost, and they agreed, you know. I think that was maybe one of the very first steps in creating this positive partnership between the two entities. The other two pieces of this are that the city has incurred some costs with Burbach, legal costs. They had a settlement cost, and there will be some attorney's fees, and that will total about $75,000. And the county agreed to pay half of that. And then the demolition cost for the existing pool, we don't know what that will be. But again, the county agreed to pay half of that because we view ourselves as a partner in the existing pool too. And then the last major thing is that both the city and the county are going to contribute $10,000 annually to a capital fund, so that when we need to do repairs or maintenance that are, you know, improve a roof, for example, we've got some money in the bank to do that. And there's one more detail too. 6 months prior to the facility opening, we'll have a director on board, and that will cost some amount of money, and the city has agreed to pay for half of that as well. So we were shaking hands, and it was just a really positive meeting yesterday. It was great.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.